The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. How am I sounding, Style? Are we coming in okay?
Loud and clear.
Okay, very good. On this 11th day of June, 2025, and what you just heard was my producer, politically astute, beyond his years, young Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, Pastor.
And he's our producer tonight. And we also have with us the medicine marm, the all-natural herbalist. She's not here yet?
Still waiting on her.
Uh-oh. Oh, my gosh. Well, I guess good things are worth waiting for, huh? And so hopefully she'll get in. But you know what we have to do, though? We got something very serious to do tonight. This morning, Style, just as I was getting in the shower, in fact, I had one foot in the tub, and there up on the shelf was my phone, and I saw it light up, and there was a message from Lisa, so I picked it up real quick, and Lisa was in bad condition. I mean, she was in very, very bad shape. She was telling me she lost feelings in her hand, that she was couldn't keep her balance, she was dizzy, and all of these things, and she just, I mean, she kind of was going on and on and on, and I told her, Lisa, calm down, now calm down. Now, here's what you do. Right now, call 911. Call 911 and very quietly, very calmly, Lisa, explain to them your situation. Okay. And she did. And they were there pretty quick. It didn't take them very long. And she lives just down the road from me, down the street from me. And I saw the ambulance going by. And so by the time I had gotten out of the shower, she was... They had already been to her place and got her. They could have got there faster than I could have. They did. They would. They would have. Anyhow. And so they took her into the hospital. She's been there into the emergency room, and she's been there all day long. And she's just recently texted me saying that she's still waiting for the results of the test to come back. So, anyhow, that's where that's at. So let's pray for her now. Folks from all across the country, remember, prayer is very important. Prayer is very, very important. So I'm calling upon you right now to join with me in prayer. So let's pray. And folks, remember this, okay? Every one of you listening today either need prayer now. I hear from so many of you. I mean, boy, every day I do. They need prayer, and we do a lot of praying here, or you will in the future. So remember what the Bible says, that those that show mercy receive it. So here, what you really need to do is join with me. It's very important here now. So, Heavenly Father, Lord God, I want to just ask, Lord, that you would intercede in this situation. I don't know what the problem is, Father God, with Lisa. It looks like there's multiple problems, but, Lord, you know all things. So we want to just hold her up to where we know she loves you with all her heart, and Lord. So we just want to hold Lisa up and ask, Father God, that you would intervene on her behalf, Lord, and that you would touch her, that in every area where she could receive a blessing, she receive that blessing, in every area where she could receive a healing. And we know she's had multiple physical problems, that she might receive that healing, Lord, at this time. And, Lord, that you would bring her a peace, and that the peace that passes all understanding, Father God. These things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, so, and now we have with us the medicine marm. Wendy, we just prayed for Lisa. So
I was here. I called the other number, and it just rang, so I had to hang up and dial again. So I don't know what's going on with phones. But yeah.
Don't worry. You're worth waiting for, Wendy. We'd wait for you.
I pray Lisa will be well soon, you know?
Yeah, we do too. She is very, she's a character, Lisa is. And, you know, people say, well, boy, why do you kid her all the time? Well, if I wasn't kidding her, she'd really be upset, okay? So, I mean, we gotta keep on her, don't we, Style?
That's right.
They don't know her like we do. Anyhow, we're going to get right into our scripture tonight. And the title of the message, Wendy, was the Song of Songs, the Song of Songs. And this is a sermon that, well, let me ask you, because I've only heard in all my life one person preached this, and I just heard parts of that, and that was J. Vernon McGee. The last time I preached on this had to be over 20 years ago. It's a passage of Scripture that very few, very seldom will you hear anyone preaching on, at least in my world. So I asked the folks in church, and I said, how many of you have heard this message preached on the Song of Solomon's? And 80% of them said they'd never heard it that preached at all at one time. Have you ever heard a message on the Song of Solomon's, Wendy?
I would say yes, about 25 years ago. It was a radio broadcast. A pastor was talking about it, and he would teach classes in it, on Wednesday nights at his church and stuff. Yeah, because few people know anything about this book, you know.
Well, I think there's some parts in it that are a tad bit risque, and that's kind of the reason I believe that you don't hear it preached very much. So we're going to pick up where we left off, and that is in chapter 2 and verse 8. Now, both Wendy and Style, there's an esoteric message here in this, okay, that there's an eschatological efference that you'll hear from many, many theologians. And it's up to you to tell me what that is when we get from verses 8 to 13. All right, so listen very carefully. Ready? The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. Well, here he is no longer in Jerusalem. He's left Jerusalem, and she is no longer in Jerusalem. She's probably at her summer house there. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. Okay. So, in other words, here, Naamah is saying that she's comparing her beloved to a gazelle or a stag. And so now here in this, the beloved, and by the way, this is Solomon. This is King Solomon, okay? that she's referring to, and he's his first wife. This is Naama, was Solomon's first wife. This is, he was not even 20 years old when he married her at the time. And at that time, he, you know, this is where he wrote these songs. By the way, Wendy, did you know that Solomon wrote over 1,000 songs? But this is a song of songs. For he goes on to say, or she is speaking, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Now, remember, there's an inference to something that is going to happen in the future. For lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, and the time of the singing of the birds is come, and the voice of the turtle, that turtle there means turtle dove, is heard in our land. Now, here's the key point. Now, this one should be, this should tell you, give you the answer. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with a tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come away. Okay, so what do you make of all that?
Well, it reminds me of Romeo and Juliet a little bit. You know?
No.
He's enticing.
Well, I don't know. I don't know much about Romeo and Juliet, but I do know it's the Bible, and I know that there's an overshadowing. So many, many, many theologians believe that this passage of Scripture here is a foreshadowing of the Lord coming with and for his church, you know, for his bride, and that the rapture will take place in the springtime. And see, the budding of the fig tree is the sign of the absolute imminent return of the Lord. So they use this passage, many of them believe. See, here, she, Naama, is a type of the church. And here, you know, of course, Solomon is a type of Christ during this. So this is what this message means to many. This is, they believe that he's giving you a esoteric message in here that the rapture of the church is going to take place in the springtime. When it says the flowers appear on the earth, and the time of the singing of the birds has come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. In other words, there's no more wars. There's no more wars. They're all gone now. And you're in the millennial kingdom. And here Christ is ruling, and there's peace. And so we go on, and we go to verse 14. Oh, my love, thou art in the cliffs of the rock, and in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance calmly. So here all through this, you see Naama and Solomon going back and forth. Like, he's saying one thing, and then she answers, and vice versa here. And then this one here, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Okay, so here the foxes, the vines, is referring to their love. And what he's saying here, my beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the daybreak, and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Well, that's interesting there. And because I'll bet that you guys don't even know what Bether means, do you?
I know it, but now that you said that, I'm not going to say it.
All right, okay. All righty. But here, I have to laugh. Let's go to what the little foxes are. He's speaking about these little foxes. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Okay. So he's talking about catching these little foxes. And do you know what the little foxes are? The little foxes are things that can destroy a marriage. Things that are allowed if you don't catch them, if you don't, get rid of them. Things like ingratitude or impatience. Things like, well, give me some examples of Wendy, of maybe ingratitude in a marriage.
I'm taking someone for granted. I guess it depends on how you rule your home. If you're arrogant and a tyrant, that's going to be a problem. But also, I don't know, there's all kinds of things, neighbors that could be a problem, could be a temptation. All kinds of things can be
a little, yeah. Well, ingratitude in a way would be, for example, when you've been married. I've been married 57 years now, and when people do things, like you talked about the neighbors or whatever, and they come and they give you a hand or they help you do something, you thank them, and every day, my wife washes my clothes. She cooks my meals, and I get used to doing that. I expect that, and I don't say thank you for washing my clothes, but I know that I should. But every now and then I say, Mom, you're doing a good job, and it's the same thing too. When things break around here, I fix them, or she's got ways of letting me know the honeydew things that need to be done. Have you noticed that light's not working? Have you noticed that? But anyhow, so we need to be grateful and say thank you for the things, in a marriage. See, with a marriage, I do a lot of marriage counseling. And with marriage, you only have to work from the first day to the last. That's all. If you don't, you're going to have problems. And then impatience, boy, it can be easy to become impatient with your spouse. Can it, Wendy?
Yeah, I mean, you can be impatient with anybody, but, you get impatient with your spouse, that can be a little bit of a sticky wicket, can it?
Well, it's because you become so very dependent and your expectations are higher usually with your spouse. And then, well, sometimes flirtations, you can compliment, say, a young girl, and I'm talking about someone like me, a young girl that's, 9 or 10 years old and they do something, or you can say, especially the younger ones, how pretty you are, how pretty that dress is, and you can give them a compliment, and that's not going to bother your wife. But if you compliment an adult woman and tell her how pretty she is, that can bother your wife. And so there's things like that, that husbands often don't think about, and they do, And so, and of course, I'm looking at it from a man's perspective. You can probably see it completely different. There's probably a lot of things that men do. The way a woman will look at things totally different than the way men do. And so there's a good example of that. In fact, when you're talking about you know, that infidelity, which is a major thing today. Boy, when they look for the reasons of infidelity and the way that they look at it, between the way a man looks at it and a woman, completely and totally different. Completely and totally different. Okay, and so here now, we pick it up where we left off, and chapter 3. By night, on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. You know what she's saying? She's dreaming. She's saying she's dreaming here. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and on the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, see you him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, and I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him, and I would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. This here is talking about an inference to wedding plans. I charge you, you daughters of Jerusalem. Now here she's giving, sending another message out to the other women, the other young women. By the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you are not up, nor awake my love till he please. In other words, she's saying, I adjure you, okay, don't go after or don't flirt with my loved, with her man, which is Solomon. Then these next verses are talking about the wedding processional. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness, like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with powders of merchants? Behold, his bed, which is Solomon's, 70 valiant men about it, of the valiant of Israel. Now that's not talking about a bed that you sleep in. He's referring to, you know how in those days you would have a seat upon a litter, and you would have these poles, and there would be 4 men on each corner of the poles, and they would be carrying the king or carrying the queen. And it would be surrounded, the king would be surrounded by all of his troops to protect him. That's what he's referring to here. They all held swords, being expert in war. Every man had their sword upon his thigh because of the fear in the night. King Solomon made him a chariot of wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the coverings of it by purple, and the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. In other words, he's talking about his wealth there. One of the problems with Solomon was it was for political advantage. He took all of these wives. He had like 1,000 wives. It was political advantage. Well, 300 wives and about 700 concubines. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, and thou hast dove's eyes within. Now, here, Solomon is speaking to Naamah. He's complimenting her. I don't know, Wendy, if I was to tell you you had dove's eyes, would that be a compliment?
Probably.
They're awful little bitty beady eyes. Those doves have small beady eyes. But I'm going to read some things here as we go through here. And the times have changed. So what was a compliment in that time, it would not be a compliment today. He goes, thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which come up from the washing thereof. Everyone bear twins, and none is barren among them. So how would you like for, if I said, boy, your teeth look like a flock of sheep, would well, and you know what? And they're twins. They look alike. That's good. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely, for the temples are like a piece of pomegranate within the locks. Well, a thread of scarlet means nice, pretty red lips. I guess that's a compliment, right?
10:30.
Yeah.
Okay. Thy neck is like... Oh, I would never say this to my wife. Thy neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armory, whereupon there hang 1,000 bucklers and shields of mighty men. I've seen what they looked like in those days, and I would never tell my wife her neck looked like that, for sure. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. If your husband was to tell you that your breasts remind him of two fawns, would...
Right.
You wouldn't take that as a compliment?
No, I don't think I would.
Times have changed, and I guess customs and that. And I think this is why you don't hear this message preached too often. We're going to be back after this.
I feel so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This work is not for beginners. I'm blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play, I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold, I know that I will see that heavenly prize. It's no surprise how happy I'll be. My mansion.
All right, blessed by you. You know, I don't have to think about what I'm going to preach on this Sunday. Do you know why? Because this Sunday is Father's Day. And I bet you're having a Father's Day sale, aren't you, Wendy?
Did you say something to me, Pastor?
Yeah. I said, this Sunday is Father's Day, and I'll bet you're having a Father's Day sale.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. The phone cut out. I didn't hear what you were saying. Yeah, we are having a Father. We're celebrating Fathers. That's what we're doing. And it's 20% off orders of $75 or more. We do have details on the homepage, or folks can just call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, and they can ask about it.
All righty. I've been using, I got your cataract medicine, those eye drops too, and I've been using that, and so okay. That is it. Tell folks.
It just takes a little bit. It just takes a little bit, so be patient with that.
Boy, the eye drops, just one drop in there. Boy, I tell you, it's got some kick to it, doesn't it?
But, right. So you've got the eye wash and you've got the cataract MD formula. So
yeah. So anyhow, we should tell Style about that. I mean, I don't think he has to worry about cataracts at this stage.
I don't know. My eyes are pretty bad already.
Are they already?
Oh yeah.
Watching computer screens will do that to you, huh?
Well, someone's got to do it.
Yeah. Did you see, Wendy, did you see how that latest study that just came out about these children, these young kids, like 8, 9 years old with smartphones, that it's had a major effect on their mental capacity. And it's causing some real mental problems with these young kids. This is crazy.
I mean, I know they have a short attention span, but and a lot of close work, and you have a lot of, you're looking closely at your smartphone, so it encourages, you know, nearsightedness when you do a lot of close work.
Wow. You always have a very good topic to entertain us and enlighten us with. What have you been up to? What's happening? What are you going to tell us about?
Well, there's a new study out of the National Institute of Medicine, Center for Biotechnology. They were looking for some natural solutions for things like anthrax. We've talked anthrax before. There's, you know, some cases now that are popping up. People working with in the animal husbandry area, you can get it from livestock like cattle. And in this case, they did have one death and 4 people get infected. So it's a bacterial infection. That's what anthrax is. But if you get it through your skin area, they call it the cutaneous skin infection. And then you can also get anthrax inhaling it in through the lungs or ingesting it with, you know, contaminated water or food. So I thought we'd revisit this, and then I came across this new research. But first, a little history about anthrax. It was thought to have originated in Egypt and in the Mesopotamia area, and some ancient writings, like in Homer's The Iliad of 700 BC, seems to describe the disease. However, the first clinical writings on anthrax appeared in 1752, Louis Pasteur created the first anthrax vaccine in 1881, and by the 1900s, animal and human cases of anthrax were documented in the United States, in Britain, and in Germany. However, this is a key point. At that time, human anthrax cases seemed to be absent from places such as Russia, Asia, India, and Africa, and the reason is because this one herb they found that is an inhibitor to anthrax grows in those countries. Isn't that interesting? In 1937, the animal anthrax vaccine was being used on livestock, and it cut down, they said, on the human infections as well. But the animal anthrax vaccine still being used today, Also, 1944, penicillin was being rolled out for treating anthrax, and in the 1950s, the first human anthrax vaccine was being used primarily for people working in the livestock industry. And then a new anthrax human vaccine was created in the 1970s to replace that version. So, and if anybody knows anything about the anthrax vaccine, it has some nasty side effects, so do your homework on vaccines. But let me jump to this National Institute of Medicine Center for Biotechnology report. Now, this was back in 2016, but it really didn't get a lot of attention, this report. They said St. John's wort inhibited the bacterial growth of anthrax. They also noted that St. John's wort is indigenous, again, to the Africa, Asia, India, and Russian continents, and that's why they had few, if any, cases of anthrax. In the 1990s, anthrax cases were absent from all of those regions because they have this herb. So who gets the credit for anthrax as a being a bioweapon? Do you have any idea, Pastor?
Our military?
Not likely, but apparently history is citing the work of microbiologist Robert Koch in the 1800s. Because he developed a more sophisticated experiment which led to the knowledge of how to grow and produce large stocks of germs. So his research and techniques led to creating bioweapons. You follow me there?
Yeah, I sure do. And we have more than a great supply of bioweapons today, huh?
I would say so. Well, here's something important. It can be, you know, it's not really common, anthrax, so a lot of your medical doctors out there may miss it. They may misdiagnose somebody. So anthrax is, if they get it in a micro-powdered form, it can be very lethal if people breathe it in. So it has no odor to it. So the incubation period can vary from a few days to weeks, making it kind of hard to pinpoint the accuracy of the exposure point. So the beginning symptoms resemble influenza or pneumonia and can be misdiagnosed. So that's real important. But there's a key coming up. I want you to pay attention. So in 2002, the New York Academy of Sciences published a report stating that anthrax is not a common infection among the population and physicians can miss the early symptoms. Here is what they said, quote, physicians should note that none of the anthrax cases reported rhinitis as a symptom, and this may be the important notation when initially considering the diagnosis on a patient with a potential exposure to anthrax. So there's no rhinitis, no nasal issues, no, you know, head cold from the head area. So that's a key, and if doctors miss that, they can miss some precious time in treating anthrax. Now, there is a PCR test for anthrax and a treatment of antibiotics. They usually use 5-fluoxin or doxycycline. Both of those I don't like. But these are given intravenously, and these also have the vaccine for anthrax is called Absorbid, also known as Biofax. And another maker is called Cyfendus.
National Guard in Los Angeles after 2 days. Remember that?
Okay, so here's the thing on the vaccine insert. I should read this to you. It says, quote, not to be given with acute respiratory diseases, so people with COPD probably should pass. Not recommended if a patient is using corticosteroid therapy and immune suppressant medications. It is recommended to have an epinephrine pen, an epinephrine pen, you know, like one of those things they stick in your thigh. You should have it on hand when you take this vaccine because you can get prophylactic shock from the vaccine. So they want you to have an EpiPen on hand. Studies have not been performed to ascertain whether anthrax vaccine has carcinogenic action and may affect fertility. So they haven't really tested it for those things. Also, it's also not known whether the anthrax vaccine can cause fetal harm when administered to pregnant women, and also may affect reproduction capacity. And also to be administered only to healthy men and women from 18 years to 65 years of age, because investigations to date have been conducted exclusively on that population age. So it's not been tested on children or anybody over 65. Also, if immunity is to be maintained, they say get subsequent boosters, and if fever chills are happening after the vaccination, no additional vaccination should be given. So that's what's on the insert inside your vaccine for the doctors to read. So there's chatter about anthrax powders or micro powders used for aerosols as a bioweapon, so that should be of concern to people. You remember, was it 2001, they had those anthrax letters that were in the mail? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So they've done that, and they can contaminate food and water with it, too, as well. So there's lots of symptoms. You know, if you get the anthrax, they're never pleasant. You get a lot of sores or boils. Now, the reason I mentioned the National Institute of Medicine Center for Biotechnology, when they were testing these herbs to see if they had any effect on anthrax, one stood out, and it was your St. John's wort. And St. John's wort originated in Europe and Western Asia and North Africa. Later, it was introduced and cultivated in North and South America and also Australia. So it is grown and cultivated here in North America. Here is a quote from the study. They said this: the extract of 1 gram of plant material can be diluted and still inhibit microbial growth. So the antibacterial activity of the extract was high at 5,562 milliliters per gram. So the extract of the selected plant species had promising antibacterial activity against anthrax. And they're looking to make a drug out of it. Okay. Now, let me just give your listeners a heads up. St. John's wort is your common name. It's really Hypericum vulgare. And here are some other common names. I don't know what area you're in, but depending on where you are located, it could be called something other than St. John's wort. It could be called clematis weed, Tipton weed, goat weed, hard hay, amber, rosin rose, perforate St. John's wort, common St. John's wort, Johanniskraut, that's a German term, as well as chase devil, Damon chaser, touch and heal, as well as St. John's grass. So all of those mean the same thing. It means St. John's wort. Additional herbs science has noted that help inhibit anthrax is also your onion, your garlic, astragalus root, turmeric, echinacea root, thyme, and oregano. According to the Journal of Anthropopharmacology of January 2021, they said among tested plants, garlic displayed the highest anti-anthrax content.
Boy, that's good to know. Garlic.
That is garlic, good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Because garlic, I planted a lot of garlic in my garden. I mean, a lot of.
Well, it's good to have options. If you can't get St. John's wort, maybe you can get the garlic. And onion is cousin to the garlic. Okay, very common. A lot of similarities. So I mean, you have options. So I would you know, keep those on hand.
Do you know Larry Nichols? Do you remember Larry Nichols?
I do remember. I do remember him. He's on your show a lot.
Yeah, Larry. Oh, yeah, we did a lot together going back. I led him to the Lord back about 1990. He exposed the Clintons. He was their strategist. He was their top strategist. But anyhow, he found they had placed anthrax in a white powder in his cigarette pack. And it fell out, and the powder came out. And or he would have pulled out a cigarette and laced with anthrax. But
wow.
You know,
so he didn't smoke any of that in that pack at all?
No, but he did get some on his hands. Okay. But anyhow, that probably would have, more likely would have killed him. The other thing, you know, a lot of people are asking me about, are you familiar with Dr. David Martin and what's happening?
Yeah, we were talking about him the other day, and he says that 4th of July warning coming up.
Yeah, we keep telling people. We've played this several times and on that, because that is coming up, and that, you know, that's, you know, he's been right. I mean, you got to say something about this fellow's been right. He's, you know, with the COVID and all of that, he's hit the nail on the head. And this is something that's been in the works for a long time. This is something that was planned off to eliminate 250,000 people, folks. This is real. And this is, what is, you know, Wendy, I'm having one of my senior moments, the disease, not the disease, the... that they were planning on using the aerosols, like with the anthrax, to use these aerosol grenades to spread this stuff.
The COVID variants, or smallpox, or Ebola.
No,
you can get these in micro powders, and you can just saturate a pretty good area.
Oh yeah, but there was something specific that he was using, and I'm trying to remember what it was. It was a very...
Was it a lethal pathogen?
Yeah, yeah. And that he was going to use a bioweapon.
Tuberculosis?
No. Encephalitis.
Encephalitis. Okay, yeah, swelling of the brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you get those usually from viruses.
Yeah.
So whatever he was going to combine in there... a lot of times, I mean, science has already published reports on this. When you combine viruses, it can give you neurological conditions like encephalitis. So, you know, if you combine diphtheria, whooping cough, and tetanus together, you can get you have a likelihood of getting a neurological problem.
Well, anyhow, just so the folks, we want to remind you folks out there listening that this is, you know, this is for real. This has been planned for a long time. It was planned back during, with Tom Ridge, back during the Bush administration. You know, as remember what Bill Gates always said. He said, if things are planned, if something is planned and you let people know, they'll learn to accept it. And they won't, you know.
Yeah, that's just bizarre, isn't it? It's such a conditioning thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's like this was... Now, Martin found this in a patent. You know, it was kind of just in your face in the patent. Now, and I think I read the patent number off the other night. But this is like 20 years ago they were planning all this.
Yeah, well, it was back, yeah, you're right. And, you know, and set for... July 4th of 2025 was the preset day to do this.
You gotta wonder why they picked that date. Why in the world would they pick a date years out like that?
I don't know, but I do know that
have you ever talked to Martin? I mean, I'd like to ask him. How did he come about finding this patent that revealed all this?
Well, we did ask him that, and the idea he. He has means by which he does locate things that are hidden, and of course he doesn't he doesn't want to discuss the means what
sure.
his means are. Okay,
yeah.
So and we
right.
can understand that. So,
well, you know, I'm gonna say about 15 years ago we came out with an herbal pandemic kit. You know, because I think it's going to be more necessary than we'd like to think. Now we are going to be adding St. John's wort to the pack. So we've got some things coming out in the next few months. And if anybody wants the information on, you know, this report, or we did a report with you on the pandemic herbs. We have that one too. We can email those or mail them to you if you want to have the list on hand, so that you can have something to reference. That's not a problem.
Yeah, you know what, this is, you know, we need to discuss that, and I think right now would be the best time in the world for you to start telling people what they should do. They should start stocking up. with some natural medicines, because things that can that work, that can cure, okay, not just treat a symptom, because we're moving into some crazy times right now. This country's actually, it's already started in a civil war. These rioting, remember, Wendy, you remember back in October before the election, we told people if Trump wins the election, the chatter out there was, if Trump wins the election, they're going to have to burn the cities down, the country down. They're going to have to start a civil war. And there's all kinds of things right now. We're working with the Chinese. Have been caught. Several Chinese have been caught smuggling in very, very poisonous mushrooms and things like that, that can, and funguses and that. They just caught a third one, okay? So you've got that. You've got the Muslim Brotherhood right now working. They're a big part of that group out there on the streets. You know, these protesters, this Saturday they're planning on having protests, you know, all across the country. So you've got all of the gangs. You've got La Raza now wanting to take Southwest back. You know, you've got the president of New Mexico, or of Mexico, rather. She is encouraging people to make war here in the United States, encouraging the people to rise up.
I know. I mean, that's kind of odd that a leader from a country would tell people to do that in America, you know?
Well, if you go all the way back in the late 80s and the 90s, the professors in many of these universities in Mexico were telling people that they're going to take back America, you know, and they named it the states, Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, California, Arizona, and Nevada, that those all belong to Mexico, and they're going to take them back. And that, you know, I mean, they've been actually planning this for years and years. And so...
Well, there's a reason we decided to specialize in immune support herb formulas and toxin removal and metabolic strengthening, because we felt it would be needed. And you're right. People should, you know, get some things on hand. Now, your herbal liquids, the ones that are made correctly, will have a 10-year shelf life if you store them properly. We show you how to do that. Not hard, just keep it out of heat and light. Your cabinet in your house, if you're environmentally controlled, that's fine. Teas and powders will have a 5-year shelf life. And usually capsules and tablets about the same, 5 years, two, maybe 3 years, 5 years. So your tinctures, by far, your extracts will have the longest shelf life.
We're out of time for tonight, Wendy. So give your phone number one more time.
Sure, they can give us a call at Apothecary Herbs. The number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or they can visit us at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com.
We are out of time, so you can if you can stay over if you want, or you can go. And I know you said you have an early morning, so
I do have an early morning appointment, so I am going to have to scoot. But thank you so much.
God bless. Thanks for being here. You always do a great show. We'll be back after this. You're welcome. God bless you. Bye
bye.
Be right back right after this. Don't go away. We got a lot more, so stick with us.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.